I don't know why people hate them. I mean, listen, everyone knows everything about us anyways. At this point, give me the targeted ad, save me some time.
Yeah, I think that's how most consumers feel.
Google is changing the way it tracks you online, and digital advertising is being disrupted. But the big question, what does this mean for the future of car dealerships? Today, I'm speaking with Ron Andrews, VP of Business Development at Cars Commerce, a technology company empowering automotive that simplifies everything about buying and selling cars. We discuss his $1 billion dealership marketing playbook, unlocking the secrets of a car shopper's mind, the end of targeted ads, and much more.
What's up, everyone? This is Car Dealership Guy. You're listening to the Car Dealership Guy podcast, which is my effort to give you access to the most transparent insights into the car market. But before we dive into the show, this episode is brought to you by CDK Global. CDK Global has been empowering nearly 15,000 dealers with the tools and technology they need to build deeper relationships with customers. Their team is keenly aware of the state of dealership technology, and while many vendors promise seamless experiences between your CRM, DMS, digital retail, and fixed ops, most of these bolt-on solutions tend to break workflows and cause more harm than good. That is why CDK has launched a new dealership experience platform. This new integrated software consists of everything you need to operate a dealership efficiently while delivering an unparalleled experience to your customers. Basically, everything working together, not separate, one system to run your dealership as opposed to 10. CDK developed it with an outside-in approach, listening to dealers every step of the way. You can learn more about CDK's dealership experience platform by visiting cdkglobal.com/DXP or clicking the link in the show notes below. This episode is also brought to you by Withum, one of the largest dealership accounting firms in the country. Withum partners with dealers to help maximize revenue and cut costs, adding profits straight to the bottom line for dealers. And dealers, one of the easiest ways to add thousands to your bottom line is by working with Withum to submit for a warranty reimbursement rate adjustment. Withum has the insights and resources to quickly get parts and labor rate approvals across all manufacturers with zero disruptions to daily operations. Contact Withum today to get a free estimate on the potential profit you may be missing out on by visiting withum.com/warranty or clicking the link in the show notes below. Lastly, this episode is also brought to you by Cars Commerce. I'd like to thank Cars Commerce for coming on as a guest and also supporting this podcast. Ron Andrews on the Car Dealership Guy podcast. Ron, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Ron, we were just having a nice little chat here because I was a Dealer Inspire customer from my early days in the car business. And it's funny that you mentioned that you actually knew that. Go figure, right? Small world, but it's good to finally connect.
Yeah, man. It's a little bit of nostalgia when you start pulling up some of like our first clients, like websites. You know, we used to like celebrate every single website we launched. We sent out these company emails, all that stuff. So I actually pulled up the old email that we sent out when we launched your website back in the day. So very cool to see it come full circle.
You guys killed it. We were growing as an independent group at the time. And, you know, I remember just looking for something higher end. And then I came across DI. And again, like the funny thing is I had no idea if what you were selling was a complete load of crap at the time, which it wasn't. I figured out by being a client, but I just remember seeing these like beautiful design images, marketing, and I was like, all right, I'm sold. And so it ended up working out very well for us because lots of people ended up, you know, trying to copy our design back then. But it was cool to, you know, come across you and to know that you were part of that early team. That's funny how all that works.
Yeah, it's still nostalgic, like looking back on it. You know, I still think we're very true to our roots in a lot of ways, like, you know, scrappy and just trying to think bigger. You know, naturally, like the industry's evolved a lot. So, you know, we had to as well. But it was cool to be a part of that, you know, sort of early team that like bootstrapped the company and got it going. And, you know, to see how it's evolved and to be a part of Cars Commerce, it's been an exciting journey. And there's still so much ahead of us.
I hope you made a lot of money on the acquisition. So that's what I can tell you. So I see that smile. All right. I think on that note, right, I want to start because your beginnings in the car business start way before Dealer Inspire. They start with you were working at an actual dealership, which brought you to the industry. Take us through your background and, you know, how you got into this industry to begin with.
Yeah, I, you know, started off actually as an intern working for a small dealer group up in northern Wisconsin. And I called that out because like they were just as traditional as you could possibly imagine. And I had a friend that was working there as a service advisor, and the owner was leaving one night and was walking through the service drive. And I guess somebody was complaining about their website, saying they couldn't schedule an appointment or something along those lines. And at the time, I was doing like some web development, working on WordPress, doing some content publishing for my university. And my friend said, hey, I got a guy that, you know, you might want to talk to. He's doing some similar things. And he connected us and I did an internship over the summer. And they said, hey, you know, we'd love to keep you around and kind of teach you the business. Fortunately, I connected with the owner and built a great relationship with him. And, you know, from there, it just kind of took off. I spent some time just kind of focusing on their marketing. But then they said, look, like, if you really want to continue to grow in the industry, like, you're gonna have to sell some cars and you're gonna have to like learn how this business really works. So that's, you know, kind of the path that I took. I sold cars for a while. I was an internet sales manager for a long time. And then when the group was acquired by a 20-store group, I became the e-commerce director for overall, like, the group operations. And somewhere along the line, you know, I met these guys, Joe Chura and Matt Cole, who were starting this little company called Dealer Inspire. And they're like, hey, you should really come work for us. And, you know, funny enough, at the time, like, I was actually like really hesitant to do that. Cause look, car business pays really well. Like, you know, just you got to admit it.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
This little startup was like, man, like, you know, we don't really know where this is going to go. Like, there's a lot of risk involved. And, you know, I remember having these moments where, you know, I'm kind of flip flopping back and forth of like, what do I want to do? Came down, spent a day in the office, you know, with Joe and team. And no joke, we were building tables. Like, before I even interviewed with Joe, like, he was running late. So I was building tables, setting up the office. This is like how early on this was. And, you know, just realized that it was an amazing culture with some really great people and turned out to be one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
100%. You know, we got to get Joe on the podcast. That's overdue. We haven't had him on yet. And I think that would be a great, great story. So Joe, if you're listening, let's get you on. So tell us, what was it like going from the dealer world to the vendor side, right? I mean, you were, like you said, you were, you know, internet manager, e-commerce director. What was that change like for you?
I think one of the things that sort of surprised me was there's so many people on, you know, the vendor side, as it's called, that are hungry to learn more about how the business works. Like, what does it actually take to sell a car? How do dealerships make money? You know, like, all of that, like, nuance and detail, they just don't get, because so many folks, like, don't come from the dealer world into, like, the tech or, like, the marketing space. And that's actually something that I've been really passionate about. We started, like, you know, these things called, like, dealer talks, and we started creating, like, little, you know, advisory panels and things for, like, you know, our team members to actually talk to dealers, to talk to, you know, the sales managers and the people running stores to help educate them and, you know, make sure that they understand all of the detail of, like, we're running this marketing for you. We're building these websites for you. We're building these software solutions. Well, like, what does it actually mean for your business, right? Like, how are you actually utilizing it? What are your pain points? What are your needs? So that was probably the biggest surprise, was just, you know, how much some of that stuff gets disconnected.
Tell me about this concept of, like, modern retailing. Is that just a buzzword? What does this mean to you?
You know, I remember when modern retail and digital retail and everything started coming, like, you know, to the forefront. I think this was back, like, 2017, 2018.
Every year you hear about it. Every year you hear about it.
And, like, Carvana was starting to become a household name. And, you know, I think everybody was like, oh, God, I need to sell cars online. They're trying to figure out, like, how do we do that? You know, the interesting thing is like, dealers have been selling cars online for longer than they give themselves credit for.
Hashtag eBay Motors.
Right. Yeah. Or even just, you look at the way that, you know, some salespeople interact with customers, even through, like, email or text. I mean, it's like most of the buying process is happening through some form of technology, right? Like, but look, I learned how to sell cars on a Foursquare, and I'm not that old. Right. Like I told you, like I came up in a very traditional dealership like that.
Tell us about the Foursquare for anyone that's not familiar.
So basically the Foursquare is just this like sort of simplistic, like it almost looks like a tic-tac-toe where you're just building out like, you know, vehicle cost, trade-in value, financing, and the way you're presenting it to the customer kind of just allows you to like manipulate the deal in some ways to make sure that you're maximizing the profit for the dealership, really.
Going back to this concept of like modern retailing, right? What's happening? Look, you are right now, and I guess I should ask you this, right? VP of Biz Dev at Cars Commerce, but what does that actually mean? What do you spend your days on, your time on? What are you doing nowadays?
Yeah, so mostly I'm responsible for like revenue growth and innovation of Dealer Inspire and our Cars Commerce Media Network. So, you know, these two core pillars of our business that are really the growth engine for the company and allowing us, I think, to interact and strategize with our customers in more meaningful ways and utilize like our first party audience, take advantage of more of our tech stack, really just to give dealers like the most efficient platform possible for them to be able to sell and acquire vehicles.
This episode is brought to you by my very own Car Dealership Guy industry job board. CDGjobs.com, my industry job board connecting the best talent in automotive with the best companies, will remain absolutely free for CDG listeners to post and fill available roles at their companies. This free job board is for anyone in automotive, vendors, dealers, lenders, manufacturers, auto tech, everyone. Already, over 100 companies have posted open positions, including Lithia Motors, Recurrent, Credit Acceptance, Viros Credit, Cars Commerce, Shift Digital, Plug, Fullpath, Westlake, Trade Pending. You get the point. The best part is that when these companies hire through cdgjobs.com, they are hiring the most informed candidates in the marketplace. So don't hesitate. You can add your open roles today by visiting cdgjobs.com or clicking the link in the show notes below. That's cdgjobs.com. So today, right, if I'm a dealer listening to this, I have, let's say, $20,000 to spend a month or something, or $30,000. You pick the number, right? I'm sure you get asked this from dealers because this is what you're working on. How do you respond to that? What do you tell dealers nowadays? Because marketing is the question that I get every single day, right? It's the big thing. I mean, 40,000 plus dealers or whatever in the country, commoditized product for the most part, I guess used maybe a little less so, new car obviously commoditized. You're going to be competing on marketing a lot, right? So how do you respond to a dealer that asks you, I have $30,000 to spend, what do I do? Obviously knowing that you work at Cars Commerce, but assuming you're giving here an objective, kind of well-rounded point of view.
Yeah, you try to be as unbiased with things as you can, right? Look, it's interesting. I think back to the days where everybody just wanted to dump as much money into Google as you possibly could, because you just knew like what, you know, the result on the other end of it was going to be. You know, you're going to get some clicks and you're going to get some leads and some phone calls. But now, you know, you think about all the different platforms that like customers utilize on a daily basis, whether that's just in their personal lives or actually part of their shopping journey. I think the trick for most dealers is, how do you diversify your media mix across all of those channels and utilize all of the tactics available within like the ad managers that bolt onto those things? That gets to be really, really complex. Look, we work with some of the most innovative dealer groups, the largest dealer groups in the country. Some of them have like full-fledged like marketing departments that basically operate as an agency. Even they are recognizing that like it's this runaway train where like you have so many different places that you have to be advertising. You have so many different ad formats and things that you have to be utilizing. And then you got to layer in audience. You got to figure out creative. Like all of those things are tough to work out. And you need really strategic partners to make sure that you're maximizing all of those things, right? So, you know, for me, I always like try to balance like demand generation versus demand capture. Demand capture tends to be some of the more traditional things like on the digital side that dealers are used to, right? Like paid social, search engine marketing, paid search, et cetera. But demand generation is something that dealers, in my opinion, still are underinvested in. Those are things like video advertising, OTT, et cetera.
Underinvested in? Dealers are underinvested in that, you think?
In most cases, I think dealers are underinvested, underutilizing some of the opportunities that they have with demand generation. You know, video was always a place where, you know, dealers either bought like traditional linear TV, like cable as an example, or they really didn't do much online at all. And if they did, it was like some pretty simple, like, you know, like pre-roll campaigns as an example. Well, now, you know, I mean, look, dealers can reach customers in so many different ways because like they're cutting the cord, they're streaming across, you know, multiple platforms, and they can actually serve ads to those customers in much more cost-effective ways than they would just buy like traditional linear cable. The challenge with video is that you got to figure out the creative, which, you know, that's always a little bit of a tough point for dealers. But then the other thing is audience, because if you don't have an actual like audience that you're targeting, that cost can get really inefficient really quick. So one of the things that we've really focused in on is, how do we let dealers utilize our first party data, our in-market shoppers, to activate media against? Now, some of that is like we just operate as the agency of record for some clients. Others, we just focus on channel specific solutions, or we also have outcome specific solutions. So if a dealer says, hey, I need to move EVs, or I need more trade-in leads, or, you know, I just need to focus on like truck shoppers as an example, right? Like we can make sure that, you know, we're leveraging our solutions to meet those needs.
Yeah. What are you seeing in the market
as like an ideal channel mix, right? Across dealerships and all the different areas where they can deploy dollars. In your perspective, right? What are you seeing as like the ideal mix right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, you got to find a way to make sure that you're generating leads, but you're also generating traffic and as much like, you know, in-market shoppers to your site as you possibly can. You know, it's funny, like we look at dealers sometimes and like, you know, month over month over month, they're growing, you know, traffic, you know, to the point where they got 40, 50, 60,000 visitors coming to their site, but they're not selling any more cars, right? Like, how do you make sure you don't sort of fall into that trap? I think in general, we try to say 50% of your budget should probably go towards demand capture, making sure that you're covering off on your paid search terms, your paid social, your inventory ads, all those kind of things. The other half of that should be built into demand generation. That can be things like a marketplace investment. That can be video, that can be display, some retargeting, all those types of things. That 50-50 mix is usually a good starting point, and then you can optimize from there. I think the trick is just making sure that, again, you're maximizing some of those investments across all of those channels, and you got a good partner on the other side that's really helping you build out the right campaigns and the right tactics to generate the results that you're looking for.
Tell me more about, like, what are you currently seeing in the market? I think one of the things that I was thinking about prior to this conversation and just doing research on you and your background, your position, was the amount of dealers that you come across and you have access to. And so I'd love to understand some of your really deep insight of what you're seeing changing right now in the market in just dealer behavior, especially given the fact that we are in an environment with increasing inventories on the new side, right? Which we haven't really seen at the levels we're at today. It hasn't been like this for a couple of years. I actually think you, Cars Commerce, put out the stat that new car inventories are up like 109% year over year. And so given all that, you know, we actually have to sell cars again. What are you seeing as best practices or changing behavior from a dealer's perspective?
Yeah, it's an interesting time right now. I mean, look, rates are through the roof. We know that, which means dealers have increased floor plan costs. On top of that, like, we got inventory coming back. So it's kind of this, you know, really challenging mix that dealers have to navigate. Consumers are, you know, making decisions a little bit differently than they did a couple of years ago. So, you know, that buying cycle has extended out so much further. And on top of that, then vehicle costs are rising as well. I think in 2019, the average cost of a new car was $38,000. This year, I think it's about to be $48,000. And that's down from a high of $50,000 in August of 2023. So, you know, all of those things are creating this perfect storm. And I think, you know, a partner of ours, CEO of a large dealer group, he kind of summed it up for me best. When I talked to him at NADA, he said, our salespeople are just out of practice. And I understand, like, where he's coming from there. You know, like, every dealer that we were working with, you know, for, you know, 2021, 2022 was telling us, look, I got more customers than cars. Like, I got to figure out that solution. Well, now everything's kind of flipped back around. So, you know, what we're seeing is dealers are particularly focused on how do they turn vehicles faster? How do they make sure that every single dollar that they're spending on advertising is as efficient and effective as it possibly can be? Because your marketing budget can't run away from you with all of your other costs increasing. And then how do we help them make sure that their salespeople are investing their time, effort, and energy in the right places and helping to maximize some of their skill set and how they're utilizing the technology just to make sure that they're going about their day-to-day in the most efficient way possible? Because look, like, you know, they might be a little bit out of practice. And now we have more insights than ever. We have more technology and capabilities than ever to hopefully help them lean in and figure out, like, where do they really need to focus their time? How do they engage customers in the most meaningful way? And how do they understand that customer journey to make sure that when, like, that customer does, you know, engage with them or come into the store or whatever it might be, they don't feel like they're starting over, right? Like, we have more insights on the customer journey than ever before. I think one of the most painful parts of the car buying process for a consumer is when they feel like they're always, you know, kind of starting from scratch or getting handed off from one person to the next, or they feel that friction in the buying process.
What do you think about this, like, always on concept where customers are shopping 24/7, right? Dealerships obviously not open 24/7, but increasingly I'm speaking with dealers that are, you know, leveraging AI, artificial intelligence tools like that to speak with their customers. Generally speaking, what do you think about always on? How important is that to a dealer in general, to the industry, to be there for the customer in a timely manner, super quickly, but also potentially after hours. So when you think about lead capture, how important is that nowadays?
Yeah, I think in general, it's always been important. I think we neglected it a little bit as an industry, but it's absolutely critical now, because I think all of our attention spans just continue to go down and we all want instant gratification for everything. Look, like, you know, you think about the way that dealers have always, you know, kind of gathered leads and, you know, interacted with customers, like at that first point of interest, it was fill out a form on the website, you'll get an autoresponder, and then someone will get back to you at some point, right? And hopefully you could do that within 15 to 20 minutes, whatever that benchmark was from the OEMs. But, you know, in reality, that, you know, we'd slip and we'd miss that pretty frequently. Customers just want answers to their questions as fast as possible. When you have somebody on your website that's shopping for a vehicle and they show some form of interest and engage with the dealership in some meaningful way, how do you take advantage of that in the moment? So, you know, this idea of being always on doesn't mean that you have to have a staff or a call center that's, you know, 24/7, 365, you know, that's not realistic. But you utilize like some solutions that leverage AI and are able to interact with a customer in a way that, like, as a general manager, you would feel comfortable with, as if they were a part of your own staff. And sometimes it's just a matter of making sure that, like, you can answer some questions on the spot, or that you're not just telling the customer, like, well, you know, someone will get back to you when we can, or, you know, come into the dealership and that's when we can, you know, have a conversation about some of those things, and just meeting the customer where they are.
In terms of actual tactics, are you seeing anything that is like, hey, this is where dealers are wasting the most money, or these tactics, this is just not working for the industry, I think this should be shifted, changed, done with? Anything on that end?
Yeah, I, you know, look, paid search, you know, sort of the traditional, like, you know, feed the Google machine, it has definitely shifted maybe the most over the last couple of years. I think in general, dealers are realizing that you still need to be there, but you just got to be more effective and smarter with how you're investing those dollars. You know, we talked a little bit about like media mix. If I looked 10 years ago, right, like you would have been 100% probably in Google, maybe, you know, maybe like 90%, you know, if you started to do some things on social. And I think in general, you look at each individual ad platform and even some of like the marketplaces as an example, how do you make sure that like your investment there is in the right spot and that you are leveraging all the capabilities to just to make sure that your budgets, your media dollars are spent in the most meaningful ways. So I think that's, you know, that's probably the biggest thing that comes to mind, is just seeing like less investment in paid search, a little bit more investment on some of the marketplaces and audience. You know, dealers are doing a lot right now also to like mine and organize and clean their first party data, which I think is really exciting as well, because now you start to create an ecosystem where your advertising partners, your reporting platforms, your CRM, your DMS, et cetera, can all have sort of a single place where your data sort of gets unlocked, and you can layer in additional data and additional first party audiences to really, you know, advertise more effectively, but also get a better idea of like what's working and what's not, and measure ROI in a more meaningful way.
Yeah, I think just the rise of CDPs and, you know, customer data platforms, like you said, leveraging data, it's definitely something that I feel, based on my conversations, and I don't have a CDP myself, but I talk to a lot of people that do, I feel like it's still very early, and the opportunity of what can be done to improve the customer experience, communication, send more targeted offers and whatnot. It feels like we're still in the relatively early innings on how that's all going to connect with the overall ecosystem of car buyers and sellers. I think that's going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of years, especially with AI rising so quickly, which makes things so much easier and more efficient. I see myself using this, and all the tools we're leveraging it here at Car Dealership Guy just cuts out so much time and makes things really seamless. So anyways, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Talk to me about cookies, right? So, because this is something that I was doing some research on with the team, and I'm personally not, you know, too familiar with just what's happening here and the rules and what's really the changing landscape of the internet, right? But to sum it up, right, cookies are potentially going away. I mean, you could explain this better, right? What are cookies? They're not the ones that grandma makes, although I wish they were. They're those little things on the internet that tell you something about someone visiting your website. Privacy and lots of these things are on the rise, and cookies are sort of being diminished here. What does it actually mean for dealers, consumers? Like, why the hell should anyone care? Explain this to us.
Yeah. So very simply, cookies are something built into the browsers that allows it to track the places that you go online and the interactions that you have on those websites. Advertisers can tap into those cookies, use some of that data to drive some of their advertising and the media that gets served against those users. That's about as simple as I can put it. Essentially, we're living in a cookie-less world today. Google Chrome is the last browser to deprecate cookies. That's gotten kicked down the road quite a bit. It looks like this summer is going to be kind of that final, you know, cutoff where even Chrome now is no longer going to support cookies. But if you look at like Safari, you look at Firefox, you know, all of those types of things have already moved beyond cookie targeting. Essentially, what that means now for dealers is it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them to be able to reach and influence their shoppers or the folks that they're advertising against in as effective and efficient ways as they could in the past. So what now they're going to have to start thinking about is one, like audience activation and making sure that they're leveraging a really high quality first party data set that they can advertise against. And that can be a mix of things that, like, as an example, Cars Commerce can provide with our 28 million car shoppers that we have every month, or even data that the dealers can extract out of their CRM, their DMS, those types of things. You start to get a little bit more technical when you think about like identity resolution and device graphing and those types of things, because without cookies, it's much more difficult to match a shopper between the different devices that they might have within their household or that they utilize as part of their shopping journey. It's also more difficult to track them across different platforms and across different websites. So if I jump between like interacting on Instagram versus then to YouTube or something along those lines, right? It's more difficult to kind of track that journey and make sure that you're influencing and serving media against that customer in a way that makes sense based on everything that you would historically know about that shopper. So that's why we're seeing the rise of like customer data platforms. That's why identity resolution is such an important piece of the puzzle right now. And essentially, like, you know, there's a couple companies out there that I think are doing some really interesting things to help not just dealers, but just advertisers in general have solutions in place to make sure that they're not negatively impacted by the complete deprecation of cookies that are coming this summer.
So what's the bottom line? Like, what does this all mean for the industry? Where are we headed next?
I think where we're headed next is first party data is going to really be like sort of this gold mine that everyone's going to try to figure out how to mine and how to take advantage of. I think dealers in particular are going to have to be very careful about where they're placing their bets and the investments that they're making. Because the same way when, you know, modern retail became a thing and all of a sudden everybody popped up selling a digital retailing tool, there wasn't a lot of guardrails and there wasn't a lot of knowledge and experience on what this all meant. And we're finding ourselves in a very similar space. You were at NADA a couple months ago. You could not walk 10 feet without hearing somebody talking about first party data and, you know, customer data platforms and audience activation and all these types of things. And I think for a lot of the really savvy dealers that we get a chance to work with, they're slowing down a little bit. They're really like trying to lean in and make sure that they are fully educated on what all of that means. They're not jumping in and making any really large investments up front here to make sure that they make the right decisions that are going to set them up for the future. Because it's going to take some infrastructure from an IT perspective to get this right. It's going to take some significant investment in their advertising and their media dollars to get that right. And, you know, any bad decisions right now could mean that you're essentially tearing down the house and rebuilding it at some point over the next 12 to 18 months. So I would just encourage dealers, like, take your time. Make sure that you got some good partners and some good advisors that are going to educate you on these subjects and these topics. And make sure that you are working with some reputable companies. You're asking the right questions of like, how are you getting your audience? Where is that coming from? How often is it refreshed? What are the signals that you're getting that actually tell you that that audience you're running media against is truly in market for a car? All of those things just require some investigation to make sure that you're placing your bets in the right spot.
Mm-hmm. What's the net result here for consumers? When you think about discontinuing to enter showrooms across the country, and if you were buying a car in the next 1, 2, 3 years, right? Is this simply just better communication and more targeted vehicles, options, whatever, you know, service offer stuff brought to you earlier in the process? Like, what is the actual end game here?
Yeah. So I don't know about you, man, but like, I don't really mind like cookies that much. I'm sick of clicking.
To be very clear, like I love targeted ads. Like, give me a good targeted ad so I can doom scroll on or whatever, like some social platform, and show me that, you know, that chamois that cleans the high chair for the babies, and I can just reuse that, and I don't need to waste like 5 rolls of Bounty. I mean, I'm all in. Like, I'm buying that. So I love a good old targeted ad. I don't know why people hate them. I mean, listen, everyone knows everything about us anyways. I've given up. Everyone knows everything about me. Like, at this point, give me the targeted ad. Save me some time.
Yeah, I think that's how most consumers feel. And we all want personalization, like in our advertising that we get served, or even like the buying experience that we have, especially if it's a large purchase. Like, you know, you think about what it takes to buy a car, you know, we've certainly made it a little bit easier, but it's still a pretty significantly, you know, complex process. Personalization can help make that a lot easier. So look, I think what we're going to face is this, you know, sort of intersection where we all have to balance, do we want personalization? Do we want targeted advertising? Or do we want like security and all these things? And there's sort of this point right now where I think there's this battle and it's this like seesaw going back and forth that we haven't quite figured out. Because even with like cookie deprecation, people have this, you know, idea that like, well, now that means that everything's really private. Well, you know, in reality, you know, there's a lot of other ways that you can track customers, or you can, you know, gather data on people, those types of things. And you just, you know, trying to put that puzzle together right now is a little challenging. But ultimately, I'm in alignment with you. We got to continue to lean into personalization. We have to make sure that ads are highly targeted, that they're relevant for where a customer is, like in their shopping journey, and that we're serving the right message that's going to help ultimately drive the type of engagement and the results that we want. That's going to get more complex. But again, I think, you know, there's some really great partners out there for dealers to be able to work with and help solve some of that.
Yeah, I appreciate all the work you're doing. So before we wrap up, just what are you working on nowadays, right? What's on your mind? What are you working on with dealers and what's next?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the most fascinating things that we're working on is the identity resolution piece. So essentially, you know, trying to de-anonymize the customers that come to the marketplace, as well as, you know, like a dealer's website. We know that still a small percentage of customers ultimately like submit a lead. And that creates a lot of blind spots for dealers of like, well, what has this customer done as part of their shopping journey? What digital platforms have they interacted with? What advertising have they, you know, been served that ultimately got them to show up at the store, make a phone call, shoot a text, like whatever it might be, right? Like that customer journey is getting infinitely more complex every single day. But the ability to actually like track and understand all of those different touch points and understand what's working and what's not and what's ultimately driving ROI for, you know, the business is really difficult. So, you know, we've been really leaning in trying to make sure that we have a really good identity resolution strategy in place that's going to help us illustrate more of that to the dealer to not only show them the value of our platform and our solutions, but also just help them connect the dots. We believe that dealers are still wasting an awful lot of money in some of the, you know, technology and advertising investments that they're making. We want to help our dealers be more efficient. We want to make it easier for them to be able to sell, service, and acquire vehicles. And most importantly, we want to make it easy for the customer to be able to buy or sell a car from a dealership. All of that, you know, is difficult, but if we can help string together what that customer journey looks like, if we can make it more personalized, more targeted, and if we can tell that story to dealers and give them the reporting and insights that they need, we believe that that solves both some of the pain points for our dealer customers, but also for the shoppers and the consumers that they need to interact with and they need to provide a great experience for.
Well stated, my friend, Ron Andrews. This was great. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights. A lot of moving pieces right now on the media landscape, but I'm excited to see you continue working on this and seeing what unfolds.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's a great conversation.
Thanks for coming on, Ron. And we'll also throw your link in the show notes below, your contact info. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you, they can get it right there. Ron Andrews, thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Please give the podcast a rating, consider subscribing to the show, and check the show notes for links to what we talked about. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you guys next time.